What if the key to financial prosperity wasn't found in the latest business school theories or Silicon Valley startups, but in 3,000-year-old wisdom? Rabbi Daniel Lappin's Thou Shall Prosper has become a secret weapon for business leaders across America, including Dave Ramsey, who calls it the best book on money and business I've ever read. The book has developed a cult following among entrepreneurs who appreciate its countercultural message that business itself is inherently moral and that wealth creation serves society. Unlike typical get-rich-quick formulas, Lappin's approach grounds financial success in timeless ethical principles that have helped Jewish people thrive economically throughout history, despite persecution and limited resources. Through 10 Commandments for Making Money, he challenges readers to see business as a spiritual calling rather than merely a practical necessity. Most people achieve greater success when they genuinely believe in the moral value of their work, like defenders in military conflicts who have a 5-to-1 advantage due to moral conviction. Developing a deep belief in the intrinsic virtue of your business injects enormous power into your enterprise. Humans function holistically. Even placebos demonstrate how our bodies perform better when our minds and souls align with our physical actions. The cultural slander against business has profoundly affected public opinion. A Business Week poll revealed that 72% of Americans believe business has too much power, and only 47% think what's good for business benefits most Americans, down from 71% in 1996. This widespread distrust leads many to cheer when government penalizes successful companies, believing prosperity only comes at others' expense. This negative conditioning begins in schools. While students announcing careers in environmental consulting or teaching receive enthusiastic support, a student declaring ambition to become a successful business executive would likely face ridicule. A German magazine attributed Germany's loss of nearly 500,000 jobs between 1990-1995 partly to educational establishments teaching children that money is a bad thing. Their survey revealed 40% of Germans regarded entrepreneurs as exploiters, and most teenagers rejected the idea of starting businesses. Hollywood has reversed its portrayal of business professionals over the decades. Before 1965, television showed businessmen as good guys twice as often as bad guys. But by the 1970s, this ratio flipped completely. Films like Wall Street depict business people as corrupt and driven solely by greed. Even children's programming teaches that business means exploiting others. Judaism takes a radically different approach. During the 7 days of creation, God uses the word good 7 times, and remarkably, the 8th appearance of good describes gold, the eternal symbol of money. This divine endorsement made Jews comfortable with wealth and business. Jewish prayers regularly include requests for prosperity without embarrassment, as wealth is seen as an opportunity to serve others. The fundamental truth is that in a free, transparent marketplace, you cannot make money without benefiting others. This understanding, that business itself is noble regardless of how you later use the profits, is why Jews have enjoyed economic success for generations. People rarely excel in occupations they consider unworthy, and even neutrality about business morality provides an insufficient foundation for success. The second commandment teaches us to extend our network of connections to many people. Jewish tradition divides the biblical Ten Commandments into 2 categories, our relationship with God and our relationships with others. The 5th commandment, honoring parents, serves as the transition between these categories, providing the original blueprint for bonding with others. Research confirms the health benefits of human connection. Studies from the Montreal Heart Institute and Emory University found that depression, often linked to social isolation, is the leading predictor of mortality in cardiac patients. As Dr. James Lynch concluded in his book, The Broken Heart, health and human companionship go hand in hand. Relationships create transactions, which create wealth, not the other way around. People prefer doing business with those they already know, making it essential to form connections before opportunities arise. The key is to build genuine relationships for their own sake, rather than with ulterior motives. Richard Simon's story exemplifies this. His genuine concern for his grandmother's crossword puzzle hobby led to the creation of Simon & Schuster Publishing Empire. Jewish communal life offers natural networking opportunities through daily prayer services, requiring a minyan, quorum of 10 men. In a strange city, attending morning services immediately connects you to at least 9 others, each with their own network of contacts. Unlike professional networking events that reek of self-interest, religious gatherings create authentic relationship-building environments. The Hebrew word for friend, chaver, shares its root with indebtedness or obligation, revealing that friendship thrives on the continuous exchange of favors and gratitude. Creating and discharging obligations through dinner invitations, thank you notes, gifts, or helpful acts builds relationships through a balance of generosity and vulnerability. Jewish tradition views cities as places offering the most opportunities to create wealth by serving many people. The biblical story of Cain and Abel reveals this principle. Cain murdered Abel to possess the entire world rather than share it. God's punishment, making Cain unable to farm successfully and forcing him to wander, perfectly fit his crime. The lesson? Wealth doesn't come from eliminating competitors and owning everything, but from human interaction. When someone asks, "What do you do?" answer with passion and specificity in 20 seconds or less. Don't merely identify your employer, describe what fascinating service you provide. Think of yourself as being in business rather than merely employed. Even as an employee, you must view your employer as your client, not your boss, and always be ready to explain your unique value to potential new clients. The third commandment teaches that to change how others perceive you, you must first understand how they currently see you. Success in any profession depends less on technical knowledge and more on business skills. Lawyers and doctors who thrive financially aren't necessarily those with the highest academic achievements, but those who excel at marketing themselves, building practices, and establishing reputations. Unlike machines that respond predictably to buttons regardless of who presses them, people respond differently based on who's making the request. Business success comes from interacting with people, not machinery, and people respond to who you are, not just what you do. Before any transaction, people try to sense your spiritual compatibility. Jewish wisdom teaches us to view ourselves as having two distinct impulses constantly at war within us. Like a rider on a horse, your spiritual self must control your material self. This imagery is embedded in biblical stories like Abraham saddling his donkey before the binding of Isaac, symbolically showing Abraham putting his intellect in charge of his emotions. Mastering this internal struggle is essential for financial success, as it helps others perceive you as having good judgment. The case of Philip Potter illustrates what happens when we ignore our conscience. This 25-year-old Morgan Stanley analyst flaunted his Uber consumer lifestyle in a New York Times interview, directly violating company policy against such self-aggrandizing publicity. Despite his Yale education and intelligence, Potter couldn't resist the short-term gratification of seeing his name in print, resulting in his forced resignation. Judaism prohibits suicide under all circumstances, a concept explained through the duality of human nature. We are composed of two separate moral entities, and harming oneself violates the commandment, "Thou shalt not murder." Similarly, lying to oneself is as prohibited as lying to others. Self-deception causes double damage. It prevents accurate situation assessment and undermines others' trust in your judgment. Understanding motivation requires distinguishing between physical and spiritual things, not in a religious sense, but scientifically. Physical things can be measured in a laboratory, while spiritual things cannot. 3 rules distinguish between physical and spiritual. 1. Physical things can be destroyed while spiritual things cannot, like hardware versus software. 2. Physical things tolerate imperfection while spiritual things require precision, like buildings versus blueprints. 3. The spiritual element must precede physical actualization, like business plans before factories. The fourth commandment introduces the concept that pursuing perfection can be counterproductive. It warns about the trap of perfectionism, becoming paralyzed by unwillingness to accept anything less than ideal. The economic system, like an airplane defying gravity, requires enormous energy to maintain wealth and prosperity. While imperfect, our socioeconomic system has successfully lifted most people above subsistence level. When scandals like Bernie Madoff's $50 billion fraud occur, we should condemn the individual without indicting business itself. Business is merely a tool for human cooperation that can be misused, just as fire can both warm homes and destroy them. Only humans make moral decisions and should be held accountable, not inanimate systems. Few people are entirely evil or good. Most actions combine both elements. The 19th century business titans exemplify this complexity. While some were unpleasant and exploitative, many were admirable. Andrew Carnegie, proud of his first $1.20 earnings at age 12, later funded libraries nationwide. James Jerome Hill, who built railroads across the Northwest, offered $10 passage to immigrants willing to farm near his lines, imported 7,000 cattle from England to give settlers, and established experimental farms, not from pure altruism, but mutual prosperity. Ethical capitalism represents a middle path between socialism's limitless government control and laissez-faire capitalism's zero involvement. Both extremes fail by ignoring spiritual dimensions. In ethical capitalism, both employers and employees focus less on rights and more on mutual obligations. While responsible stewardship of natural resources is good, elevating environmentalism to an ultimate value allows it to be used repressively. Different people prioritize values differently. If extending lifespan were our only priority, we'd prohibit risky activities like skydiving and mountain climbing. But humans make choices based on competing values. Soldiers perform heroic acts that may shorten their lives, and many choose quality of life over longevity. Some critics believe business reduces humans to mere consumers, manipulated by commercial forces. This view misunderstands human nature. Human activities exist on a spectrum from spiritual to physical, praying and creating art at one end, bodily functions at the other. Commercial transactions are actually more spiritual than physical. A chimpanzee couldn't comprehend an exchange between merchant and customer, nor could machines independently conduct business. Economic exchange requires two thinking humans, making it primarily spiritual. Leadership is not about identity, but action. It's not a noun, but a verb. True leadership emerges during moments of chaos and uncertainty, when people turn to those who demonstrate clarity and direction. Hebrew, considered the Lord's language, lacks a word for leader, suggesting leadership isn't a fixed identity, but an action. Even Moses, the quintessential biblical leader, was never described with a specific leadership title, indicating that leadership is defined simply as having followers. Counterintuitively, effective leadership requires demonstrating that you follow a higher authority. People follow leaders who themselves follow something greater, whether principles, rules, or higher authorities. Moses succeeded because his people saw him as God's follower. In business, demonstrate your commitment to principles rather than capricious decision-making. Whether deferring to a board, mission statement, or ethical code, showing yourself as accountable enhances rather than diminishes your authority. True leaders master both facts and faith. Facts are essential. Your followers expect you to be informed, or at least drawing on those who possess relevant information. However, facts alone make you valuable to leaders, but not a leader yourself. Faith, the ability to work with something not yet visible as if it were already real, distinguishes leaders. Like Abraham, who saw promised land as already his, while his servant Eliezer couldn't grasp this reality, leaders see desired outcomes clearly before they materialize. Leaders require balancing competing demands. A leader must view those under their command simultaneously as both pieces in an overall puzzle and as unique, important individuals. Jewish tradition illustrates this through God's metaphors about Abraham's descendants. Sometimes as sand on the seashore, significant only collectively, and other times as stars of the heavens, individually brilliant. Leaders must embrace such contradictions, viewing employees both as functional parts of an organization and as irreplaceable individuals with unique personalities. Body language creates an almost imperceptible but important leadership quality that others recognize even when they can't articulate it. Jewish tradition crowned the lion as king of beasts not for strength or size, but for its economy of movement. Unlike other animals that constantly fidget, lions move with smooth deliberation, displaying total body control. As Shakespeare wrote in Hamlet, "Rightly to be great is not to stir without great argument." Greatness reveals itself through careful, deliberate movements showing underlying self-control. The sixth commandment teaches us to convert change from enemy to ally by understanding when to enjoy the exhilaration of change and when to fight it and steadfastly defend the unchangeable. Society oscillates between craving stability and seeking adventure. Humans are complex, simultaneously creatures of habit and seekers of variety. The key is distinguishing between what should remain constant in your life and what changes you should welcome. The freedom to embrace change productively depends paradoxically on not being completely swept away by it. You need a fixed, unchangeable framework of reference to successfully navigate and profit from change. The Star of David symbolizes this crucial balance between eagerly embracing the new while remaining anchored to unchanging principles. Businesses that fail to adapt to technological change inevitably perish, like buggy whip makers who ignored automobiles or iron foundries that resisted steel. Innovation drives progress through creative destruction, where outdated equipment and processes must be scrapped to create greater wealth. As economist Joseph Schumpeter explained, creative destruction isn't merely a side effect of commerce, but an essential element of wealth creation. Jewish tradition wisely recognizes that humans need time to adjust to major life changes. Newlyweds celebrate for 7 days rather than immediately returning to normal life, while mourners observe a week-long period of recovery at home following a funeral. This gradual transition from emotional turbulence back to normality reflects an unchanging truth about human nature. When implementing workplace changes, be aware that even seemingly minor adjustments to schedules or systems can cause significant stress to employees. Presenting information gradually rather than as terse notices increases the chance of positive cooperation. However, like necessary surgery, some changes, such as terminating employees, are best handled decisively rather than prolonged, as uncertainty can be both cruel and perilous for the organization. People love familiarity because it reassures them nothing is changing. Disney artists gradually modified Mickey Mouse to appear more childlike, with a disproportionately large head and eyes, features that produce tenderness in adults, making him increasingly familiar rather than changing. Frank Lowy, a Holocaust survivor who built a shopping mall empire across Australia and America, understood this principle when branding all his properties as Westfield Shopping Towns with consistent signage and uniforms. The biblical partnership between Zebulun, commerce, and Issachar, scholarship, illustrate how business success depends on both embracing change and anchoring to unchanging principles. Zebulun provided economic support, while Issachar maintained the moral framework, without which Zebulun's efforts would ultimately fail. As James Collins noted in Built to Last, successful companies conduct massive changes while never abandoning their core values. The seventh commandment teaches us to develop foresight in business and life. Through a personal story of business failure, Rabbi Lappin illustrates how some people can see impending changes while others remain blind to them. Despite his company's apparent success and growth, a respected businessman clearly foresaw its imminent collapse, a prediction that proved devastatingly accurate when California's economy and real estate market crashed. Forecasting requires understanding which external events will impact your specific business and which won't. Different future events affect different businesses unequally. Some developments might devastate one industry while leaving others untouched. Newt Gingrich incorrectly predicted that the internet would solve America's educational crisis when in reality it transformed the economy but had minimal impact on teenage literacy. Emotional detachment is essential for accurate forecasting. Churchill's ability to see the coming war stemmed partly from his emotional indifference to public image, while Chamberlain's ego blinded him to Hitler's true intentions. Similarly, George Shaheen, despite 32 years of business forecasting experience at Anderson Consulting, made a catastrophic career move to Webvan just before the dot-com crash. Effective futurists must block out the bright lights of excitement and hype that obscure clear vision. Newton's first law of motion provides a powerful framework for forecasting. Objects continue their current trajectory unless acted upon by external forces. This principle applies to business trends, markets, and social patterns. By examining past patterns and current momentum, we can predict future outcomes more accurately. Paul Reichman, the global real estate developer, embodies this approach. If you want to know tomorrow, you must know yesterday. Time moves in discernible patterns, much like the ancient calendars that helped humans predict seasonal changes. Recognizing these patterns, whether in fashion trends, economic cycles, or social movements, provides significant advantages in business forecasting. The recurring cycles of human behavior follow predictable sequences that can be observed throughout history. A period of material acquisitiveness, followed by a period of spiritual quest, followed by cultural decline. Just as you can only hear your refrigerator's quiet cycling at night when other noises are absent, you can only detect the subtle signals of coming events when you create quiet time free from distractions. When bombarded with powerful stimuli, we become less sensitive to soft, subtle indicators of future trends. Most people miss these signals because they don't set aside the necessary quiet time to notice them. The Eighth Commandment reveals that your money represents your life force, the aggregate of your time, skills, experience, persistence, and relationships. To increase your wealth, you must first understand money's true nature. Understanding money begins with recognizing what it isn't. The physical manifestations, green paper bills, metal coins, checks, plastic cards with magnetic strips, or even digital ones on bank computers, aren't actually money but merely represent it. Even stock certificates only represent partial ownership of physical assets. If these items only represent money, what then is money itself? As oversimplified as it may sound, my money is really me and your money is really you. Your bank balances are inseparable from the rest of your life and function as extensions of it. While there's more to your life than your money, there's nothing more to your money than your life. Money represents the quantification of our creative energy, a measure of our time, dignity, skills, health, experience, and persistence. The Talmud means that humans at work are more than just bodies. They are the totality of their creative energy, part of which is distilled in money. There is more to me than my money, but there is nothing more to my money than my entire self. Money can be created by almost anyone, not just governments. When you write someone a check for roof repairs, you've created your own money. The roofer accepts it not knowing for certain whether you have sufficient funds, but because he trusts you. Trust is so fundamental that countries or individuals who renege on debts find their currency or checks rejected. The intangible nature of money is demonstrated by Ford Motor Company paying $9 billion for the brand names Jaguar and Volvo. Not factories or inventory, just names. Their value lay in their reputations for performance and safety built over years. Money is a metaphor for the strength of human relationships, a numeric analog for how you've run your life and what you've done for others. Value isn't objective like weight or length. a 2010 Volvo XC60 sedan might list for $42,150, but sell for $39,850 to one customer and full price to another. Unlike physical measurements that remain constant regardless of location, value changes dramatically with context. That same Volvo parachuted into roadless Borneo jungles might be worth just 7 yams to locals who could only use it as shelter. Rabbi Isaac's ancient advice recommends dividing assets into 3 parts: real estate, which appreciates as population grows, merchandise for trading, even for those not in retail business, and readily available cash for emergencies and opportunities. Money in Hebrew is called zuz, meaning to move. It must circulate to create wealth. When people hoard money, the economy contracts. The 9th commandment introduces the counterintuitive principle that giving away money through charity is essential for creating wealth. Like love, money is best won by renouncing the need to totally possess it. Through what the author calls mystical alchemy of money, giving charity jumpstarts wealth creation. People's charitable giving behaviors often defy rational economic analysis. Most donors spread their giving across multiple causes rather than maximizing impact through a single charity. Economics was originally studied in religious departments, not science departments, because human financial behavior is unpredictable and often irrational. Jewish tradition teaches that many required actions serve reflexive purposes. They benefit the doer more than the recipient. Just as showing kindness to animals develops human sensitivity, charitable giving transforms the giver. Jews give regardless of government involvement, potential investment alternatives, or recipient's ability to pay, recognizing that giving benefits the donor spiritually. After implementing all the previous commandments, seeing yourself as a business professional, identifying your contribution fields, making yourself more valuable, you now face seemingly counterproductive advice: give away a portion of your newfound income. While this appears paradoxical, it's actually essential to wealth creation. People are naturally suspicious of desperate individuals in business. Whether it's an overeager salesperson or someone too anxious to form connections, desperation repels potential partners. One powerful way to overcome this appearance is to make yourself feel genuinely abundant rather than needy. While shopping provides a temporary feeling of importance, the effect quickly fades into buyer's remorse. Giving to charity, however, creates lasting feelings of magnanimity and expansiveness that transform how others perceive you. Charitable giving trains you to become an effective investor by developing the same internal quality needed for both activities: the ability to part with your money confidently. Just as James Bond coolly places bets while villains sweat anxiously, successful investors and business professionals must learn to place money at risk without desperate attachment to immediate outcomes. Giving charity initiates the flow of money between you and the world, creating essential human bonds. Like electrons flowing between molecules, money movement creates and strengthens human connections. Your task is to excavate pipelines that carry money toward you, and the most effective way is by first pumping money outward through charity. This creates conduits that remain open for reverse flow. The final commandment advocates integrating your vocation with your identity by viewing life as a journey rather than a destination. Mattel Matt Dawson exemplifies this principle. At 78 years old, he continues working at Ford Motor Company after 60 years, earning nearly $100,000 annually and donating most to education, including over $1 million to Wayne State University. Despite only completing 7th grade, Dawson built wealth through consistent work, overtime, saving, and investing, with no plans to retire as long as he remains healthy. While many admire Dawson's story, they simultaneously pray they won't be working at 78. The healthier perspective lies between extremes, neither working as hard at 78 as today, nor becoming useless to others. The belief in retirement forms a spiritual virus that distorts your worldview and subconsciously slows you down long before you reach that arbitrary age. Dr. Donald Hensrud of the Mayo Clinic confirms what Judaism has taught for 3,000 years. People who maintain close relationships live longer and healthier lives. Working productively means caring for others, while retirement tends toward selfishness, making relationships harder to maintain. Our most involved relationships often develop at work through mutual dependency. Marketing needs engineering, sales supports accounting, and everyone depends on everyone else. Being paid proves you're valuable to someone else. Without work, we lack reliable indicators of our usefulness. In ancient Hebrew, concepts without corresponding words are considered non-existent. Just as there's no Hebrew word for coincidence, because nothing happens in isolation, there's no word for retirement, indicating the concept itself is fundamentally flawed. Before the 1950s, retirement as we know it didn't exist. A 1950 poll showed most workers wanted to work as long as possible, with quitting reserved for the disabled. Perseverance is a critical quality for success that correlates directly with achievement in business and sales. Like physical muscles, this spiritual muscle must be deliberately exercised and strengthened through consistent practice of choosing your rational mind over your emotional impulses. The retirement mindset actively undermines it as it frames work as something to eventually escape rather than as inherently valuable. The retirement myth contradicts ancient Jewish wisdom about integrating time with career through three fundamental lies. First, it falsely suggests work has no inherent value beyond its ends. In reality, work expresses and increases human dignity, providing fulfillment and connecting us with others. The second lie claims aging makes us less productive and capable of creating wealth when the opposite is true for most professions. The third lie portrays people as mere consumers rather than creators, suggesting you're simply occupying a slot at the food trough that someone else deserves after you've had your turn. God placed man in the Garden of Eden to work it as a source of satisfaction and fulfillment of his destiny as a creative partner with God. Through work, humans prove they're created in God's image. Through work, you work not merely for results, but because the work itself has intrinsic meaning by benefiting others, your customers, employees, and community. Pay and profit aren't your motivation, but your validation, confirming you're meeting others' needs.